Now, your host, Michael Cohen, with the Capital City Recap on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
And we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. One more time, if you have any feedback, anything you want to tell me, please send me an email to capitalcityrecap@gmail.com. Now, the trial of Dr. Conrad Murray continues as millions follow the unfolding case over the death of pop star Michael Jackson, with the drug propofol being blamed. To talk about this powerful anesthetic and what could or could not have been done to save Michael Jackson's life, I'm joined by Dr. John Greer, a professor at the University of Alberta, also a faculty member of the Department of Physiology, Center for Neuroscience and Prenatal Research Center. Welcome to the program, Dr. Con. I'm sorry about that. Welcome to the program, Dr. Greer.
Thanks for having me.
It certainly would be interesting to have Dr. Conrad on, but not today. Now, Dr. Greer, the idea of any person taking an IV drip to fall asleep sounds ridiculous. Before this case, have you ever heard or seen of anyone using such a powerful drug as a daily sleep aid?
No, I haven't. And propofol is certainly not designed as a sleep aid. But what it does have a property, which may be more likely the reason that it's being taken, is it does give quite a euphoric sensation to whoever's taking it. So it's a recreational means of getting a euphoric sensation. Unfortunately, it's an extremely dangerous way to go about doing that.
There are so many drugs out there that can make a person feel good. You can take pills, you can inject them. Right. Why does propofol require an IV drip?
Well, it just doesn't come in a pill formulation. It's very difficult to get it soluble, and they've gone to great lengths to get it soluble in their particular patented solution. So that's how it's administered.
I wonder, when you see this Dr. Conrad being prosecuted for, I guess, being negligent perhaps with Michael Jackson and his propofol use, do you view that as something that shouldn't even be happening? I mean, is someone that's taking propofol in this way, is the risk of death just a reality they need to consider?
Oh, absolutely. So propofol is a very, very useful, short-acting anesthetic for procedures. And it's been designed to be administered by an anesthesiologist in a very controlled setting. It is the margin of error for using a drug like propofol is quite steep. It ultimately, what it does is it stops the brain activity necessary to continue breathing. So it shuts down that part of the brain that generates the drive to breathe. And as I say, it's a very fine line between getting the effect you want and having the patient breathe. So if you have a controlled situation, you can intervene and ventilate the person or deal with the situation. But it's not meant to be used in someone's home in the way that it's supposed to be used in this situation.
Does anesthetic like propofol, does it actually produce a restful sleep? I mean, does a person awaken from being on propofol for several hours feeling well rested?
I don't know about how they feel at the end. It's meant to be a short acting anesthesia. So if you were going to go in for a procedure to have a scope put down your esophagus or something, and they wanted to have a quick acting anesthetic that'll allow them to do their business, and then it'll wear off very quickly. So it's a short-acting drug. So it's not meant at all as a sleep aid. That's not its purpose. And as I say, it's short-acting, so it's not going to be working throughout the night. That's for certain. Now, the other complication here, and this is very serious, is there are reports that Michael Jackson was taking a number of sedatives. And the combination of sedatives, which on their own can tend to shut down breathing, but if you add that with the propofol, now you're really dealing with a dangerous situation. It makes propofol, which is already dangerous, that much more dangerous. It's the mixture of drugs that's the problem.
Now, what killed Michael Jackson then? I guess it's called respiratory depression.
Right.
Basically, from the description, it would be your respiratory system just falls off and stops working. How is that dealt with in a hospital setting then when that begins to occur?
Well, typically what they would do is they would ventilate. So they would put a tube down and they would basically, they so-called bag you. They just squeeze a bag, or ventilate you, or put you on a machine until the effect of the drug wears off, and then you can breathe on your own. So you have to have that intervention. Or they can give you a drug that would stimulate your respiratory center. But the propofol and the sedatives together, it's just a double whammy. And that part of the brain that's in your, just behind your ear and in your neck area, the spinal cord, just above the spinal cord, that drive is necessary to keep your breathing going. And these agents like propofol, they shut down those nerve cells and you just stop breathing.
That sounds incredible. You actually physically have to force someone's lungs to breathe to actually get them to continue living. I mean, what, is there no powerful stimulant shot that can be given to reignite that system?
Well, we actually are working with a company in California called Cortex Pharmaceuticals, developing substances called ampicines. And we know if somebody, if I can give a rodent an overdose of opiates, morphine, and it would stop breathing, and normally it would die, and I can inject these ampicines, and the breathing will come back nicely. So, so there are agents, but this is an early stage clinical trial. But of course, that agent wouldn't be in Michael Jackson's house, and his clinician would not have that agent. It's not a matter of can you intervene and what should be done. It just shouldn't have been used in someone's home to get a euphoric sensation, particularly when used with other agents that were being abused at the same time.
I'm talking to Dr. John Greer, a professor at the University of Alberta. I wonder, when you see a case like this, a wealthy man who somehow got a hold of propofol, and I need to ask you before this question, though, propofol in general, is that something anyone can get in a private setting?
No. You can't go to your local pharmacy and buy propofol. No, it's meant to be used only by clinicians in particular medical settings.
So the doctor himself would have had to get the propofol and then administer it to Michael Jackson.
Yeah, that's right.
I see, which, and I guess in some ways it begins to put more of the onus on the doctor for creating that kind of an environment that led to the death of Michael Jackson.
Well, he can get propofol and use it as a clinician as an anesthetic, but to be administering it to a private patient for what seems to me to be recreational use is obviously outrageous.
Well, let me ask you, in terms of propofol and drugs like it, how frequently do anesthetics lead to life-threatening situations, even in a hospital?
In a hospital setting, it's quite rare because they're monitoring the patient very, very carefully, and they can intervene and they can bag or they can administer some agents to stimulate, but they're being monitored so carefully. You do get problems with people who are taking opiates with patches, or I'm sure there are areas in the world where the clinical settings aren't as sophisticated where you do get these accidents.
Well, ultimately, though, you can die from respiratory depression from all kinds of medications, not only propofol or anesthetics. How much more powerful would you say propofol is to painkillers and other depressants that are available to patients at home?
Yeah, so opiates will do the same thing, but you have to take quite a dose. But from my understanding is that the safety margin for propofol is really it's dangerous. But you can overdose with opiates, and people do, obviously. And then there are situations where patients come into the hospital for surgery, and they get their morphine to ease the pain. And some people are very susceptible to having their breathing stopped, so they have to back off on the painkiller and give them just the very minimum just to get rid of some of the edge of the pain. But some people can't tolerate it. So it's very variable. But if you give anybody opiates, alcohol, propofol, on a background of sedatives, which we have, which seems to be the case here, then everything changes. Then all of them become much more dangerous.
Well, let's see. Yeah, certainly mixing drugs, alcohol, any kind of combination of medications is generally not advisable. And in this case, it did become lethal. Dr. John Greer, a professor at the University of Alberta, thank you very much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.